We're in a series, we're starting a new series today entitled Parenting 101, and the goal of parenting is to prepare kids for the future. I love that ad because it's the dad's talking to a little girl one second, the next second she's fully grown, and it seems like that if you're a parent. Does anybody agree with that? And it turns around, boom. And today we want to start a series. I've asked my lovely wife Debbie to help me with this today and talk about what are some principles from God's word that'll help us understand how to prepare the next generation for life. And there's an insert inside your bulletin. It's just entitled, the message today is entitled Parenting with the End in Mind. There's some fellows right up front here who have some pens. If you need a pen to fill in the blanks, take some notes, just raise your hand. They'll be glad to pass one along the road to you. But the idea is this. Here at Centerpoint, we believe that the Bible is God's word. And because of that, we believe that it is our guide in all matters of faith and practice. Whether it's finances, whether it's parenting, whether it's dating, whether it's marriage, whether it's career, all kinds of things. And so that's why we talk about the whole range of topics. At the top of your outline, it simply starts this, that sermon starts this way, this message starts this way, that life is good when we follow God's instructions. Life is good because God has a plan for us. In Proverbs 29:18, it says this, when people do not accept divine guidance, they run wild. And we do. It's not just that, well, if we don't listen to the Bible, we'll probably end up at the right place anyway. Oh, no, you won't. Uh-uh. When people turn away from God's directions, you end up with a lot of hurt. Crazy stuff, even. People run wild. God says in Jeremiah, he said to the prophet Jeremiah, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. I have plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. That's what he told the children of Israel. It's what the Bible talks about over and over again. God's instructions are not meant to be a ball and chain. He's not trying to keep us. He's not some cosmic killjoy who's trying to keep us from having fun. He gives us instructions on life to give us a future and a hope. And as we look at these parenting tips, I really want you to understand that. This is all about giving a future and a hope to generations yet to come. Psalm 32:18, it's the Lord again speaking, I'll instruct you, I'll teach you in the way you should go, I'll counsel you, and I'll watch over you. I mean, what's so great is when you and I read the Bible, we have access to the unlimited intelligence of God himself. The one who designed us, the one who knows how life is supposed to work, the one who came up with the idea of parenting. And he says, I'll watch over you, I'll help you, I'll instruct you if you'll just listen to me. And so today we're going to launch into a new series where we're trying to hear God's instructions on parenting. And I want to say one other thing real quickly. You might be here today saying, oh, great, I don't have any kids. I mean, well, how is this going to help me? Well, let me give you a couple of ideas. You might be an empty nester and your kids have all left home and now it's time to start praying about how you can encourage them when they have grandkids. I mean, when you have grandkids. About the next generation after them. You might be somebody who's a teenager, and today, hopefully, we'll show you some ways you can encourage and pray for your parents as they seek to do their job. Maybe you know someone who's a single mom and is struggling to make ends meet. Maybe you know a couple that's parents of a kid with special needs, and you'll find a way to encourage them. Or maybe as we go through this, you'll discover some things that your parents did really right, and you'll be able to write them a letter and say, hey, I was reminded of something today, and I want to encourage you, Mom and Dad. So even if you're not at the place right now where you've got a kid in a car seat, these are still principles that apply to all of us. Because you might have a nephew or a niece, and you could learn how to encourage them. Or you might just be able, as a result of this message, to start praying for that kid who skateboards in your driveway. And you don't know where his mom and dad are. And you might be able to pray for him. And so today, there are a lot of options for us here. Debbie, what's your take on this first point?
Well, I just know that most of us, when we look back in our life, we can remember people of influence that weren't necessarily our parents, maybe a coach or a teacher. And so I think all of us, I think you're right, all of us need to be involved in some young person's life. We need to be praying for them, and we need to be actively a part of helping raise them up to teach them what it means to be a godly young man or woman. And that's the ultimate goal, is for us to have kids that love the Lord. And so that's what we are going to address this morning, is just how to have that in mind as you start the parenting journey or wherever you are in that walk. of just, you know, we want spiritual children. We want kids that love the Lord. And, you know, so many times we'll do everything in the world to make our kids really great at a sport. We will get coaches and tutors for school. We want them to be really involved and have a gift, and we want to help them along. But for the most part, a lot of times we just kind of neglect the spiritual side of our children, and we're not very intentional about it. And so we're so focused on getting them the right education, or helping them to hit a baseball or whatever their talent may be, and we totally neglect the spiritual side. And I don't think God wants us to do that.
He does not. And so I want to have a word of prayer for us, and I'm going to ask God to speak to us wherever we are in life so we can learn a few lessons today and get some instruction from His Word. Would you pray with me, please? Lord, I just thank You that Debbie and I can give a few instructions from Your Word today, or can amplify those things. I thank You, Lord, for the fact that You entrust us with raising the next generation. It's unbelievable to me at times. And so, Lord, I thank You, Lord, that while You've done that, You've also given us Your Word to guide us and watch over us. Lord, I pray that You'll guide us and watch over our thoughts this morning. I pray that You'll speak and You'll move us out of the way and teach us some things we need to know about parenting with the end in mind. I pray these things in the name of Christ Jesus. Amen. Point two on your outline is this, is that good parenting begins when we embrace God's perspective on children and parenting. Again, if God has given us His Word, and God's Word says that He is the author of life, He's the one who came up with the idea of people and the idea of parenting, well, then God has a perspective on it. And we need to understand that if we're going to get the parenting right. If we try to do this without God's perspective, we're always going to end up with the wrong conclusions sooner or later, and probably sooner than later. So first of all, you and I need to remember that children are a gift from God. Children are a gift from God. This is easy to embrace when you're carrying a little bundle of joy home from the hospital. By the time they turn 14, you're looking for a gift exchange, okay? You're going, hey, why did I turn this one back in? This one got defective somewhere. Okay, what happened here? And that can happen all too often. It's like we forget that children are a gift from the Lord. Where do I get that idea? Psalm 127. Children are a gift from the Lord. They're a reward from Him. Children born to a young man are like arrows in a warrior's hands. How joyful is the man whose quiver is full of them. Never in Scripture are children called a burden. They're a blessing, a gift. I want you to know that this is out of step with our culture. In our culture, children are a problem to be solved. How do I know that? Well, according to the National Right to Life Committee, or according to Planned Parenthood, there's about this next year, there'll be 1.3 million babies aborted in the United States. This year. 3,700 today. Today, 3,700 approximately. 1% because of rape or incest. 6% because of health concerns with the mother or the child. The other 93% because the child was inconvenient or unwanted. 93%. Nobody argues those statistics. Nobody. Children are not a blessing. They're a problem and a curse. I can't afford this kid. They mess up my retirement plan. I won't be able to go on the vacation. And that's our culture. That's not what the Bible says. And again, I'm just going with God's perspective. Sometimes God's word is directly in conflict with what is popular. Can anybody else agree with that statement? Yeah, well, this is one of them. When Jesus one day was approached by some parents who brought their little kids to Him, here's what happened. According to Luke's gospel, one day some parents brought their little children to Jesus so He could touch them, bless them. But when the disciples saw this, they scolded the parents for bothering Him. And then Jesus called for the children and said to the disciples, "Let the little children come to Me. Don't stop them, for the kingdom of God belongs to those who are like these children. I tell you the truth, anyone who doesn't receive the kingdom of God like a child will never enter it." Parents bringing little kids to Jesus. "Would you bless my little boy, little Bobby, little Susie, little girl?" "Oh, get away from here. Come on, Jesus doesn't have time for little kids." "What are you talking about? Let them come. Don't you realize that children have an honest and sincere faith? It's when they grow up in our sinful and broken world that we learn to rationalize sin and not forgive people, and not trust. And so children are important to God. They're a blessing from Him. And our whole understanding of parenting has to start there. The children aren't awful curses. In fact, it's the next point in your outline. The children are projects, not problems. This is a project for you and me. If we're given children as parents, this is a wonderful project to cooperate with the Lord. He's allowing us to cooperate with Him to shape the next generation. I mean, what an incredible opportunity. Deb, you have a comment on that?
Well, I just am amazed when I think about that God lets us be a part of this. I mean, so many of us carry around a lot of things that happened to us when we were children, and you can remember them vividly, whether they're positive or negative. And you realize sometimes, wow, it really does matter what I say and what kind of example I laid for my children and for other children. I mean, we are shaping the future of our country by the way we raise our children.
We really are. And so one step we need to do, another observation here based on what we just said, is that you and I need to thank God for our kids and ask Him to reveal His dreams for each of them. See, if God creates us, which the Bible says He does, and if God places us within our families, which the Bible says He does, then if I'm a parent, I need to be praying for, well, God, what are your dreams for my son? What are your dreams for my daughter? I mean, what did you create them to be? I mean, they're a gift. Lord, show me so I can help them unpack this marvelous giftedness that you've given them, their personality and their talents and their abilities. Lord, what are your dreams for them? And if we look at children as a gift, that becomes a wonderful and exciting thing, because then we get to know about this. We get to discover it with them. We also need to tell our children that we love them. It just falls out from this. And that we're grateful for them. And I put in parenthesis, daily, because daily would be a minimum. It's great to tell our kids we're grateful for them. Hey, you are a gift to me. And I pray for you. I want to know what God's dreams are for you. I mean, how exciting is that? Like I said, praying for that kid next door, if you don't have a kid, or praying for your niece, your nephew. Hey, Lord, what are your dreams for them? If you're a grandparent, hey, God, what are your dreams for my grandson, my granddaughter? What are your dreams? What do you want them to become? And how can I encourage them? Well, a great way is to say, man, I'm so proud of you. I love you. I cannot tell you how many times I've met with people in pastoral counseling situations, and people get all choked up. And they say, you know, my dad never told me he loved me. Or I don't think I could win my mom's approval to save my life. She's never proud of me. And they just weep bitter tears. And you and I can do something about that for the next generation. We can pray for them and we can encourage them, but we have to understand that they are God's gift to us, not a problem to be solved. These are marvelous projects that God is working on them, and He's using you and me to do it, to come alongside Him and help discover all those things. Now, along with that, if children are a gift, then parenting is an assignment. Parenting is an assignment. You got to add the N. I'm sorry. It was A. It's an assignment. Some of you are going to circle that in red and say, hey, you didn't get that right. Okay, anyway. But the idea is parenting is an assignment from God. If the kids are placed in my care, then this is an assignment for me where I get to work with Him. Moses talked this way when the children of Israel were about to enter the promised land. He said this. He said, these are the commands and the laws and the regulations that the Lord your God told me to teach you so you may obey them in the land that you're about to enter and occupy. And so you and your children and your grandchildren might fear the Lord your God as long as you live. Now, if you obey all of His laws and His commands, then you'll enjoy a long life. That's back to where we started here, that life is good when we follow God's instructions. He said, and you must love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your strength, and you must commit yourselves wholeheartedly to these commands I'm giving you today. Repeat them again and again to your children. Talk about them when you're at home and when you're away on a journey, when you're lying down and when you're getting up again. This is our assignment as parents, to shape children for the future, to help raise godly kids. We get to cooperate with God in doing that. Do you have any thoughts?
Nope.
Okay, good. This has never happened before. Let's go on quickly. Okay, here we go. Okay. Now, here are a couple of observations. You will have some thoughts on these, I guarantee it.
I'm just happy about the next point.
I know. Okay, first of all, Here are a couple observations to follow up from that. If this is an assignment, first of all, you and I need to relax. There are no perfect parents. Could everybody say that together with me, please? There are no perfect parents. Turn to the person next to you and say that. There are no perfect parents. Okay, now you heard it from somebody else besides me, all right? There aren't any. And so if you're feeling intimidated and you're saying, oh my goodness, well, think how intimidating it is to stand up here and talk about this. Because we're not perfect either. And one of the things that you discover as you go through parenting is that, hey, this is a challenge. And if you have multiple kids, just it gets complicated off scale. Because every kid's different. And they respond to the same situation completely different, in a completely different fashion oftentimes. And so there's no perfect parents, but God wants us to cooperate with him and do the best we can. That means we need to pray for our parents and ask God to show them how to do their job, how to fulfill their assignment. How to fill their assignment. And that would be you and me. So if you're a teenager in here today, I want to challenge you to be, before you leave today, that you pray for your mom and dad. Or if you're living at home at any age, pray for your mom and dad and say, God, I'm a project that has been entrusted to my parents. Help my mom and dad do a good job, because right now I think they're struggling in some areas. Okay, you could be honest. I haven't evaluated them at 100% yet, okay? You can pray for them. You can. Here's another thing you can do. We can tell our parents that we love them and thank them for doing the best they can. And this can happen even if you left home a long time ago. Have you ever thanked your parents? I remember it was about 10 years ago that I took my oldest son to place a father-son camp at J.H. Ranch. It's a place out in California for a father-son retreat, a week. And one of the things they did was they reminded us of this truth of how much your parents meant to you and their job, and we should thank them for doing the best they can. And I wrote my dad a letter, and I said, thank you, Dad, for doing the best you can. My dad was a farmer. And I remember, and he got that letter. He called me as soon as he got it. He was all choked up. And he said, you know, I don't feel like I did a good job at all. He had come to our house once and watched me lead devotions, family devotions for our kids before they went to bed. And he stuck around afterward and he said, you know, can we talk for a minute? And I said, sure. And he said, well, where'd you learn to do that? Because I didn't do that for you. Where'd you learn that? And I said, well, I went to some parenting seminars and Debbie and I have talked about it. And this is important for me to lead my kids. And he goes, and he got kind of misty-eyed and he said, you know, your grandfather never taught me that. Just did the best I could. He just did the best he could. And sometimes our parents need to hear that. Because there aren't any perfect parents. And it's important that we tell them.
John, I would like to say, you know, a lot of us are walking around wounded, I guess you could say, or carrying a lot of bitterness or anger toward our parents because we know really fully well that they were not perfect. And sometimes it's hard to let go of that. And I would encourage you, if you are carrying that around, you need to pray. You need to ask God to help you let go of that. Because a lot of times, if you were to see your parents' hearts, they feel the same way John's dad did, of just, I just did the best I could. My father never did that with me. And a lot of us are we're all in different places, and some of us are a little bit better equipped to be a parent than other people. Maybe our parents did a great job, and we feel like we know a little bit more, but you know what? There are no perfect parents, and we need to let go of the anger and forgive our parents so we can restore that relationship and move forward. And we just need to start where we are and say, God, you know, my parents may not have done everything perfectly with me, but I want you to show me how to do a better job. And you just work with what you've got. And if you let go of that anger, God will restore that relationship and bring about a lot of healing in your life.
But it all stems from having God's perspective. His instructions are right. The children are a gift. And parenting is an assignment. Here's another thing that falls out from that. You and I can encourage and pray for other parents around us. And this is when you can pray for that single mom. Have you ever thought about it? Man, she looks tired when she comes to work all the time. Those people across the street, their kids, that's a zoo over there. What are they doing? Well, I don't know, but have you ever prayed for them? Have you prayed for your nieces and your nephews? I mean, have you prayed for your brother, your sister as they're starting their family? I mean, this is how these instructions apply to all of us. All of us. And you and I can pray for them. And say, God, help them. Maybe somebody's just lost a spouse and they're dealing with grief and they're dealing with financial concerns and they're trying to hold body and soul together and they're trying to hold their family together. That's tough. Have you prayed for them? And you and I can do this, and if we understand God's perspective on it, it shows us how to act. And we need to pray for the parents around us. Now, the next point is very important also. And guys, if I could get that whiteboard up here, a couple of you guys put that up here. We need to understand, if we're parenting with the end in mind, not only do we have to have God's perspective rightly focused, but we also need to have God's goals in focus. And here's the goal of our parenting. We've talked about this already. It's godliness, but that means this. We need to raise our children to become independent of us and dependent on God. This is misunderstood a lot of times, and if we're not careful, because we love our kids, we can actually end up doing too much for them. Why don't you comment on that a little bit?
Well, we've gone through the process. We have two in college, and there's a great difference between raising a young person and getting them to the place where they can go off to school and be independent of you. And all along, you need to have things in mind of, okay, when he goes or she goes off to school, I want them to be able to do this, this, and this. And it's not just laundry. It's not just getting themselves up in the morning. It's reading their Bible and walking with the Lord independently of you so that they will be a functioning adult and can leave your home in a healthy way. And we have to be very intentional about that. That doesn't just happen by accident. I'm going to get out of the way here and let you do your chart.
All right. This is a chart that helped me again. And this is once again from that same father-son camp we went to J.H. Ranch. This was life-changing for me. Just explaining what I'm trying to do as a parent, what the goal is. When kids are born, my primary role is a cop. Okay? I got to make sure they're not drinking the Drano, okay, or falling downstairs. I mean, it's true. You put child locks on everything. I mean, can anybody give me an agreement on that? Okay, it's true. I remember when our youngest son, Graham, was, how old was he?
Just turned two.
We were living in a house at the time that had this giant pine tree right next to it, and it would just shower down tons of pine straw every year. And so from time to time, I'd have to get up on the roof and sweep off the pine straw. Well, one morning I was up there. I'd put a stepladder next to the house, climbed up on the house with a broom, and I was sweeping off the pine straw. And all of a sudden, I feel this tug on my pants. And I turn around, and there's this two-year-old standing there. I have no idea how he got up there. And all the blood drained from my face. You know, I'm just going, oh, my goodness. How did you get up here? And then, like, Evan was a few years older. He came and got you, right?
He came in the kitchen. I was washing dishes. I'll never forget it. He came up, and he said, Mom, Graham's on the roof. Well, Graham, it was Christmas time. He had just turned two in October, and I just started laughing. I was like, right, Graham is not on the roof. So I just kept doing what I was doing. And then he comes back a little while later and goes, Mom, you really need to get Graham off the roof. So I go outside, and there's John standing there with my Graham. And we still don't even know. I don't want to think about how he got up there.
I don't want to know, okay, how he got up there.
Because he had to jump from that ladder. To the
right, anyway. Because we had to get her up there to hand him down. And he was that child. Every time it got quiet, it's like, uh-oh. All right, where is he?
Where is he?
Okay, and some of you know that. And so your life, when you get kids like that, when they're little, your role is 100% cop. But by the time they're 22, that better change. Because kids when they're 22, they don't want you doing everything for them. They hate that. In fact, they want to be independent. God made them that way. And we took our first son off to college at Furman University. They had a special session for parents. They said, we want all the parents to stay. We want all the freshmen to go out. And they had a special seminar for them. And then the president of the university sat down on a stool and said, parents, we're so glad you're here. You know what we want at the end of this day? We want you to go home. It's time your kids grew up. Some of you are helicopter parents. which means you hover over your kids all day long and they can't do a thing without you. And here they are 18 years old. Some of them don't know how to do their laundry. They don't know how to manage money. They can't do a thing. And you have parents live 150 miles away that would drive up to the school and pick up their son or daughter's laundry every 3 days and bring it home, do the laundry, and then go fold it for them, bring it back. Even though the laundry services, washing machines were right there on campus. You had parents that would call professors and say, will you wake little Susie up? Will you wake Bobby up so he won't be late for class? And the parents would go, no. But they said what happened was, they said some parents are still being in the cop mode when their kids are 18 years old. Doing everything for them. Treating them like they're five. It's a big mistake. In fact, what you want is a different role. You want to, by the time they're 22, you want to be in the coach role, where now your kids are calling you for advice. We have one. Our oldest son is this age, and I love it when he calls. Hey, Dad, I've got a problem with my car. What would you recommend? Hey, Dad, I'm opening a bank account. How do I do that? Hey, Dad, I'm doing this. I love to give him advice, but I don't want to do it for him anymore. I mean, my goal is when my kids get this age, I want them to leave. I want her to stay. I want them to leave. I mean, does that make sense? That's the plan. Well, then somewhere along the line, I got to start having these two roles cross. And I got to gradually, year by year, become a little less cop and a little more coach. Now, I want you to know the danger zone is right here. And I should put horns on this 13. Okay, this is where the devil gets in the mess. Now, this is hard work. Because right here, you're a little bit cop and a little bit coach, and it depends on the kid. And some kids, it's easy. Oh, yeah, I mean, you just kind of draw this out. I go, oh, Dad, I understand that. I'm an enlightened child, okay? And they just go. Other kids like, oh, this is going to be tough. But what we try to do is during, even in this zone, we try to give our kids responsibilities and give them projects to help them succeed. And every time they prove themselves responsible, we tell them, good job, we're going to give you a little bit more. I sit down with our kids and I tell them, hey, this is where we're going. You started out dependent on me. I want to raise you, so by the time you leave, I want you to be dependent on God. I don't want you to be dependent on me anymore. Because one of these days I'm going to die. I certainly want you to move out and start your own family. And so I want to shift the dependence from me to God. I want to be less cop and more coach. How do you think that we've done on that so far?
I don't know. We'll find out. We're constantly, I always get back to, there's no perfect parent. We're learning as we do this as well. And I think we do a lot of things different with our third child than we did with our first child.
Our oldest one says he was the guinea pig. Okay.
Yeah. Well, and unfortunately he was a little bit, but you know, that's life, and you do things differently, and you grow with your child. And that's the important thing, is that you adjust as they're growing up, and you have to be open. You have to be flexible. You have to talk to other people and read books and pray, and God shows you what to do.
And that's why if you go down to this fill in the blank section, I'll come back to the scriptures in a minute, but I want you to hear this. Here's some observations. You and I need to adjust our parenting strategies as our kids grow. Not only do our kids need to grow, we need to grow as they grow. Some people are great parents of toddlers. I mean, they knock it out of the park. They stink when their kids get to be teenagers because they haven't grown. They're still treating the teenager like a little kid. Some people are great teen parents. The problem is they're trying to explain rationally the value of carbohydrates in the diet to a three-year-old, okay? The three-year-old doesn't need a coach. The three-year-old needs a cop. And so sometimes people get it backward, and here we are going this long explanation. No, mommy's going to take this away from you, or daddy's going to take this away from you right now, sweetheart. And it's just this little, and here's why, in this 10-minute explanation. And then they meet with the teenager, and the teenager goes, because I said so. Swap that. The three-year-old just needs to know because I said so. The teenager is the one who needs the explanation. And sometimes we get it all backward.
John, I'll tell you what, too. It's not fun to be a cop to a teenager. It's a burden. It's a heavy burden. And it's, I don't want to be a policeman, you know, going through all their stuff and you know, making sure that they're where they said they are. And I don't want to live that way. It's a burden as a parent. You don't want that. You want to be able to trust your child and to have a good enough relationship with your child to where you can be more of a coach. And it's a joy to be a coach, to be involved in their life, but to watch them becoming independent. There's a great joy and pleasure that I get from seeing my children accomplish things on their own without me.
The goal is independence, not control. The goal for our children is independence, not control. I'm not trying to control them. I'm trying to enable them to stand on their own two feet. They're a project. They're an assignment given to me for a few years. And if I will lovingly, carefully guide them, that's the goal. Now, to do this, here's another observation. Parents, like you, we need to seek wise counsel, especially if you got multiple kids on the journey, because you got one kid here, got another kid here, and another one here. Well, now you got to switch from cop to coach. Sometimes coaching hat with a whistle, the other time you're putting the badge on going, young man, sit down. Well, how come he gets to do that? Because he's 17 and you're 8. Oh, you got to make a distinction. It's okay to do that. It's okay to tell them, hey, when you get that age, I mean, we have this conversation when our kids get to be teenagers. Hey, if you want independence from me, I want you to be independent of me too. Let's work together. And now you understand, if you're a teenager, here's how you can pray for your parents. Help them have wisdom, God. Help us communicate so we understand each other. And finally, one other observation is, it's never too late to start following God's plan. Never. I mean, if you came to this and you went, oh, I wish I'd heard that 15 years ago. Start today. Start today. And say, hey, I heard something today. Or maybe this wasn't something you understood, but now you can help your children raise your grandchildren. Or maybe you can pass this on to your brother, your sister, so they can work with your nieces and nephews. It's never too late. Because this is what God wants for us. He wants us to make them independent of us and dependent on Him.
You know, it's also a relief to realize that, you know, just go to your kids and say, I just realized we haven't been doing this very well. I'm really sorry about that. I'm going to try to do this differently now. It's okay to apologize and admit to your kids that you haven't done things quite right. And pray about it together and say, we're going to make some changes. Let's talk about this. So it is truly never too late. You just admit that you haven't done things right and you want to make some changes. That's a good thing.
In Hosea 6:3, here's what it says. Oh, that we might know the Lord. Let us press on to know him. He'll respond to us as surely as the arrival of the dawn or the coming of rains in early spring. The verses right before that, God has just said, hey, if you'll come back to me, I'll return to you. And when he comes, it says, when we return to him and we get on his game plan and start following his instructions and embrace, in this case, the fact that our kids are a gift and that parenting is an assignment. We start getting on that and we start getting in the game plan. It's just like spring rain, and things that were dry can become green and things that were dead can come to life. And it's like the dawn where the darkness can be lifted and light can come in. And so what's important for you and me to do is to embrace this. I'd like for us to have a word of prayer today. The band is up here and they're going to lead us in a song of reflection. But even as they're here today, I just want to settle some things right now. Maybe God brought you here today because you need to write a letter to your parents and thank them that they did the best they could. Maybe that's what you got out of this today. Maybe you got out of this today, I need to pray for my brother and his kids. Maybe today, this is the first time you've understood this whole cop coach business and you've said, oh, I need to grow. I mean, on the back of your outline, we have all kinds of resources written there. There's a number of books that we'd love for you to check out. You can find counsel on that. And so maybe today, that's what you got out of this. Maybe I need to read a book. Maybe I need to get advice. Maybe I need to forgive someone. I don't know, but I'd like to have a time of prayer and ask God to guide us as we reflect on this. Would you pray with me, please? Lord, I just thank you for the opportunity to be here today, and I just ask that you would guide each one of us in the particulars of what we need to understand. Father, I pray that the things that we've done well, I pray that you will reaffirm those things in our lives even now. The things that our parents did well, you remind us of this. And some of us here today need to go home and give mom and dad a call. I said, Dad, Mom, I just want to tell you, today I was challenged by something at worship, and I appreciate you. Maybe today we need to surrender our kids because you love our kids more than we do. And we need to say, God, I just want to cooperate with you. Maybe today we need to change our attitude and say, Lord, I thank you for my son. I thank you for my daughter. They're a gift and a project. Help me not give up on them. Maybe today, someone who's in junior high or high school hears that they need to pray for mom and dad. And they're reminded. And if that's you today, pray for your mom and dad and say, God, please guide my mom and dad. Help them do the parenting job rightly. Maybe, Lord, you've put on our hearts to pray for the single mom that lives next door or the parents with special needs. They got to do all this stuff and they have extra burdens too. In just a moment of silence, whatever God put on your heart today, just say, God, I'm glad I heard you today. I want to cooperate with your plan. Lord, I thank you for your word and that you guide us in all matters of faith and practice, even in how to shape the next generation. And we're all a part of that, no matter where we are on the journey. I pray for the grandparents here who need to start praying for their grandkids every day. They need to find ways to encourage their sons or their daughters. I pray, Lord, for the step parents and the foster parents in this room. You guide them. I pray, Lord, that those of us who have some real pain and some anger in our lives toward our parents, we'd be able to let that go too. I thank you, Lord, that you allow us a few years on this earth and you allow us to cooperate with you in forging the next generation of godly people. Help us to listen to you and obey you. We pray these things in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen.